As always, the Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. The Mission Morse summer event is on now at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, right there on Causeway Boulevard. You can start at the website edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. They're on a mission to sell 3,000 vehicles in 60 days with the guaranteed lowest prices, all backed by Morse with their price protection promise. Full details are at edmorse.com/promise. And Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, we have been out there. Ira has been out there. Wonderful certified pre-owned Cadillac selection. So much more. edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, the Mission Morse summer event continues. Don't miss new 2018 ATS sedans, only $339, zero down, or get 0% financing 60 months, plus $2,000 down payment assistance on all new 2018s. So hurry to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit edmorsecadillactampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. We are so pleased to always give our support to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, more than 70-plus years of Ed Morse quality and service across Florida. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, and here's Ira.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Tuesday. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is back. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here, and the star of the show, he got a haircut, he's looking good. He is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Ira, how are you on this steamy July day as we march toward training camp?
This particular Panera location may be closing soon because we're their steady customers, and we're moving our act to One Buck Place starting next week. We're looking forward to it. Lee Owen 3 DeKemper over there. I have to keep his dauber up. I got to keep his spirits up. Isbitz is a guy that thinks they might be able to win one of their first five games. Tell me when I'm misstating your opinions over here, Isbitz.
No, I think they'll win one of the first. I think they'll go 2-3.
Ah, there you go. Well, that'll keep them in the ballgame. Keep them in the ballgame. Question is, at what point does Jameis come in? That's a story that will be evolving all through training camp, Lee. But the point is that next week, we will be at One Buck Place, rookies, veterans. We're going to be there, Cutter, Light, and Jameis Winston going to the podium. And, of course, the Kemper will be allowed to ask the first question. You are the Helen Thomas of the of the Buccaneer
like
press corps.
I look
Lee.
Like her.
We can't wait to get into some meaty topics today, Lee. And, of course, we'll do another one on Thursday.
All right, speaking of meaty topics, of course, we heard all those great offers. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon is your presenting sponsor here, Ira. We love them and appreciate all of their support. Now, your podcast, if you didn't listen last week, Damar Dotson got personal with us. It's right there for you on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play. Ira, you continue to dominate iTunes of all the Bucks-related podcasts. Every time you are at the top of the heap.
I think I missed 1 week, Steve. Literally, 1 week I got knocked out for some reason. Must have been DeKemper's computer.
Well, we're talking iTunes. You're always there at iTunes, Ira. So, yes, Google Play, you're on the national top charts.
That's talking about iTunes.
I'm talking just iTunes Bucks podcasts. You are always at the top of the heap. The commish came back, knocked out all the others. So it's you and the commish kicking everybody's
we're cleaning
butt.
Cleaning up over there, baby.
Which is fantastic. So you could subscribe for a free alert, Google Play. You're still on the national charts. And Ira Podbean, you're still doing your thing. So congratulations to you.
Thank you. Lee, can you imagine? Can you imagine what happens if this team ever gets good? Can you imagine with these numbers?
Steve and I have been waiting and waiting and waiting. My gosh. We're
trying to awaken a sleeping giant over here.
I fear terribly we're going to be waiting at least another year.
Lee.
I am so depressed.
Lee, now you just got back from Vegas. That's the land of hope and dreams over there. You didn't go to a sports book and see what the over-under on the Bucks is, did you?
Six
and a half.
I was going to get you a Chiefs ticket. I don't know what the Chiefs are, but just so I know you're a Chiefs fan.
Chiefs probably eight or nine.
I can't remember. I could look it up, but I don't know what it was. But his advice, Mr. Isbitz, should I tell it?
Sure.
He gave me the advice, but apparently he doesn't want to pull the trigger on it.
Too early.
The line was Philly 10 and a half. I took Philly under.
I like that.
Yeah.
You know, hey, give Isbitz his credit. He jumped on the Jags. Last summer,
where was his money this week, though?
He jumped on the Jags, and he made some money.
Well, I have an answer to that. I have an answer. Yes, normally.
You got cleaned out by your wife.
No. Normally, I've been giving Lee money when he goes to Vegas, throw something down. But this year, you know, I grew up in New Jersey. I still got my family up there.
Oh, that's right.
I got my
it's legal up there.
My cousin will be going out to the Meadowlands
your
for me.
Vinny?
Before the season starts. So I don't need Lee anymore. I don't need Lee. I don't need Vinny.
Don't say it harshly like that.
Now, here's a guy that works at the sports book at RA. He talked me into this. 10 to 1 odds, Jags win the AFC.
I would take the 10 to 1.
I put $10 down.
You know, look, we got to give his – when Isbitz does something right, we got to acknowledge it.
Lee. He usually does something
right. Now, 2 years ago, and I remember this vividly because I was equally adamant, and I was wrong, and he was right. The Bucks went into Atlanta, won the season opener. We had our podcast, and I said, hey, the Bucks played well. They deserve to win. I don't think Atlanta's very good anyway. It looks like a 6-10 team. Right then and there, Atlanta was 0-1 with a home loss. Isbitz said, Falcons are going to be darn good this season, Ira. They end up in the Super Bowl. Probably should have beat the Patriots. Should have beat the Patriots. Last year, he jumps on the Jags. He's 2-for-2.
All right, well, if we're going with the money, my pick for Lee.
And who's your chic pick this year,
Two chic picks. Bucks fans aren't going to like it, but two chic picks. The under on the Eagles. I love that bet.
They lost some players.
They're at 10.5 right now. Look, Nick Foles was not a very good quarterback during the regular season. He was awesome in the playoffs.
Except Atlanta. He didn't do well against Atlanta.
He's still Nick Foles.
Wentz is recovering.
They've lost a lot of guys. Wentz, I'll bet against a knee. And it's at 10.5. So, for me, Eagles win 10 games. I don't see him going 11.
That's very nice.
So,
that's
I'm
nice
there.
Bet.
The other play I like, Bucks fans won't like right now, Carolina's at 8.5. And I'll take the over on Carolina. C.J. Anderson, we don't have him, but they do.
You've always had a little love affair going down there in Charlotte.
No love affair
what,
in
like
Charlotte.
David Tepper, the new owner, to get things done, the little hedge fund manager?
Great defense, and they've added a bunch of pieces. They've added pieces. So, North Turner is going to know how to use McCaffrey.
My last NFL bet, and I should have done what Steve said with Carolina. I didn't. And, well, Steve makes all the sense in the world what he's saying, and I don't disagree. The last bet I had NFL, I did a bunch of college. Well, for me, a bunch. 4 or 5 is a bunch for me. The last, third and last NFL bet I made, 5.5 Browns under. And we were talking 0-16 team last year.
Yeah. And, you know, Rivera's a pretty good coach, too, in Carolina.
Excellent coach.
He had a bad year, and he bounced right back.
Excellent coach. Bounced right back. So, yeah, my cousin Robert will be out there at the Meadowlands hooking me up. So don't worry, Ira.
Cousin Robert.
So, anyway, Ira, iTunes, here you know, in the podcast episodes, popularity rankings, love the local ones. You got Ira, an episode, the Commish's recent Jameis Time to Change episode, Ira, Commish. And then Rick Stroud, and then goes from there.
We're a tsunami over here. That's the only way you can say it.
It's a tsunami, Sage. Now, so here we go, Ira. You're wearing, just for fans who don't know, now we all talk about your Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon gear, but today you're wearing a shirt that says, Ira Against the World. And so I'd like you to explain, and of course...
Well, my trainer gave it to me. My personal trainer, you know. Now, I know why you're bringing it up, Steve. It must have been a slow news week. Guys, last week, for all of a sudden, a T-shirt that was not worn by Jameis Winston, was not worn by anybody that's employed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it said Jameis Against the World, and it hit Instagram, and it caused a little bit of a furor.
An independent contractor.
Lee, you're 1,500 miles away at the time. What'd you think of it?
Well, first off, I thought it was cool as hell, and I'm honest about that. What have I said on previous podcasts? Jameis should just go full-blown wrestling heel. And that's right up my... That's exactly what I want Jameis to do. Then I saw, well, it wasn't Jameis wearing the shirt. I'm like, well, what's the deal? What's the controversy? And allegedly someone says it's a bad look. Bad look for who? Bad look for who?
Steve, does
Jameis have to go around calling people, say, you know, is it okay for my trainer to wear fill in the blank? Have we come to that part of society that we have to worry about what
Look
we
at
wear?
Lee's give me a rare break. Form coming back from Vegas.
Give me Steve, a break. Is there anything, I had no sleep last night.
Steve, is there anything to be said for the suggestion that Winston needs to keep a low profile above all, go under the radar, don't post anything on Instagram unless it's your baby, you and your wife? Is there anything to be said for that he's got to keep a very low profile right now?
Sorry, I'm going to throw it back to you, Ira, because you're the sage of Tampa Bay sports. What do you think? Your media brethren, Tom Jones, Greg Allman, JP Peterson, they seem to believe that there's an issue with Jameis being himself. in regular activities. They want him to be a different person. Now, I understand he's got to abide by the law and the spirit of the law, but they seem to want to write a playbook for him on how to behave. What do you make of all that?
Well, I think we're going to know a lot more next week, guys, when he hits the podium. Now, look.
Will he?
He'll be well-briefed. We know that for a fact. You know, he'll be talked to before he goes on. And, you know, they might do a, it's like a pre-debate where they fire questions at the Hillary Clinton to try to get her ready. They might do that with Winston. They might put him in a room and fire questions, you know, but they're not going to hit the questions that Izbitz, the Kemper, and Kaufman ask. And so we're going to see if he's repentant. We're going to see if he's fiery. We're going to see if he takes pot shots at the NFL investigation, Lee. We're not quite sure what his mode's going to be. But you know what? He wasn't wearing the T-shirt. Even if he was, I'm not sure it would be a big issue. But he wasn't wearing the T-shirt. People say, well, he put it on Instagram. That means he endorses it. He endorses it. Oh, you know, I don't mind his trainer wearing it. Let the trainer wear it. I'm okay with it.
And I didn't know this right away. And to me, it made, when I learned this, what I'm about ready to say, when I learned this, it made what was a non-story thoroughly ridiculous, was that it was licensed by the NFLPA.
There's another factor.
I mean, give me a break. I mean, I just can't believe.
Didn't we see one with Marpet?
Yeah. I just can't believe we've gotten to a point in society where we're worried about what an independent contractor wears. I mean, there's no profanities in it. Like, are we that triggered as a society? Are we that thin-skinned? Are we that? My gosh, how? I'm surprised there aren't train wrecks down US 19 because we see a political bumper sticker. Give me a break.
I want to see a picture of Marpet with that T-shirt while he's playing the ukulele. That's what I'm waiting for, Steve. You got that picture? I'm interested. I'm going to blow it up. Put it on my wall.
Well, Ira, look, you mentioned endorsing it, right? That it's on his Instagram page, so. And so he endorses it, and maybe he shouldn't endorse something like that. My question is, for those who made that argument, what is he endorsing? Is he endorsing that his trainer should have the attitude that my client, Jameis, is fighting against the world, so I have to train him to be the toughest guy he can be? I would want my trainer to endorse that. I mean, it's splitting so many hairs and making so many leaps. You know, JoeBucksFan.com, we've been around 10 years. And some of your colleagues, many of them really, they looked at JoeBucksFan.com in the early years and even to a tiny extent now and wanted to tell us what to do and how to behave.
Tiny.
And
protocol, right?
Basically
protocol.
Try to create phony protocols of ways to exist and to cover the team that frankly didn't exist. And they used to say to some of them, hey, you know, why don't you go talk to the Bucks and they'll tell you what the playbook is and then pass it on to us and we'll follow it. But it's a media mindset of you got to do it our way. And the media, led by Peter King, who was on with Mike Florio on his PFTPM podcast, Peter King saying Jameis has to come back to the Bucks with his tail between his legs. That's a quote. And this was before the T-shirt thing. And, you know, a lot of people, including Florio, think, you know, that T-shirt showed some bad judgment by Jameis. I think we've just gone out of hand. He wasn't wearing it.
First of all, I'm not going with that tail between the legs. I'm not buying that. What I do think he needs to do is communicate honestly with his teammates about the whole situation. I think he needs to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did it last month before they broke up, but the NFL decision hadn't come down. So in the wake of that, the reason I say this, guys, is, look, we've been around the guy 3 years and we've heard guys talk about Winston constantly on this team. And they're all talking him up for 3 years.
Still are.
And still are. So you can't say Jameis has gone unsupported. If anything, to a man, they talk about his incredible leadership skills. Well, I think he just has to be honest and in private. We don't need to be privy to this. I think that meeting has to happen. I think it has to happen. I think players are waiting for that. And once it happens, I think they move forward.
Yeah, I did not see it, but apparently Kwan on Twitter, I'm not talking about the T-shirt issue, but when a sentence came down from Goodell, he had support for Jameis. But Cam Brate was on Sirius NFL Radio week 10 days ago. And the story, I published a story Sunday where Brate said he's our starting quarterback for a reason.
And on the Dotson podcast, Lee, remember I drilled Dotson about how players are very keen to spot a phony. And he talked about how genuine Winston is and puts the work in and they would see right through him if it wasn't genuine. So that's what we've been hearing for 3 years. Look, I don't think Winston has to apologize, Steve, but I don't think he should leave it unresolved, you know, and not address it. He needs to address it.
I think that's what you're going to get, though. I don't think he's going to address anything.
Well, I'm talking about in private.
What does private mean? One-on-one, man-to-man?
No, I didn't say one-on-one. Well, I'm just saying with his teammates.
I don't think you'll get it with the teammates because he can't be completely candid, Ira, and then a guy gets cut and spills the beans. That's just stupid. At this point, he should have addressed it, in my opinion, last year, which we were told he didn't do that.
If a guy spills the beans, that's hearsay. That's hearsay.
Well, but it's still a distraction.
Were you talking about
legal? Well, just a big distraction for the team, right? If, let's say, whoever it is, right, pick a guy. Jameis addresses the team, pick a guy. This guy gets cut. And then he does an interview and talks about what Jameis told everybody.
Wait, if I'm a teammate, I want to know if Winston got screwed by the NFL or he got what he deserved. I want to know.
Well, I tell you what, missing three games is a hell of a lot bigger distraction than whatever scuttlebutt some guy says on ESPN or, for that matter, this fake distraction people concoct about Hard Knocks. That's a pretty major distraction.
These guys have gone out of their way to talk Winston up for 3 years. I think they deserve an honest explanation.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying that, you know, if Jameis is honest with his teammates in the locker room and a guy gets cut and he goes on ESPN, okay, could be a distraction. Nothing compared to missing three games.
And by the way, along those lines, Lee, he's got a lot of supporters among the Buck fan base. And he's got his detractors.
Yeah.
But he's got a lot of supporters. When Winston comes...
Well, here comes one of his distractors now. Detractors?
That must be Winston's trainer driving that ambulance over there. Lee, along the same lines. Do Winston's supporters deserve some kind of either mea culpa or further explanation? Doesn't he have to address the suspension in public the first time he comes to One Buck?
You got to be very careful because you don't want to incriminate yourself. You got to be very careful. Hey, the best way he could get a mea culpa is win games. I've written that before. I'll say it publicly again.
Should he say, I let my team down? Should he say that in public? I've let them down. I've hurt my team. Whether he did it or not, that's still true.
Well, it's obvious he let his team down. That goes without saying. He's out three games. Whether he did something or didn't, he's out three games. The worst three games to start a season.
Should he address the fans, Steve, and say, I appreciate your support?
Look, I think he's going to take the cues from the organization, which obviously doesn't care. Right? Team Glazer isn't interested in addressing what happened. Jason Light's in the bunker.
Don't care. They couldn't sleep at night for 6 months.
He got suspended. We haven't heard from any of the players, meaning... Light, Cutter, it's Dirk Cutter's football team. Come on, this is like the biggest.
He's in Pocatello. He's got stuff. So he's got a vegetable garden.
I think Jameis will take.
Potatoes?
I stunned you with that one, Stevie.
Jameis will take his cues from the guys on top, which is say nothing, move on, shut up. I don't think we're going to get anything. Nothing. Look.
I'll tell you what we're going to get. We're going to get the news side people that come to One Buck once every 4 years. When there's a little scandal. Remember a guy named Mike Deason?
Oh, very well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He used to show up when, Austin Seferian Jenkins got suspended or
something.
Did
he show up?
Oh, yeah, he showed DUI. Here's Mike Deason. And then you wouldn't see him for 2 years. All those types. The Noah Pranskys of the world.
Oh, I thought he's trying to get rid of the Rays.
See, all of a sudden you're going to see them at training camp, at least in the first day or two when they find out that Winston's addressing. You know.
I thought Noah Pransky's shtick was trying to run the Rays off.
Well, he was also he was also trying to run the Tampa Tribune off, and he did a heck of a job. Thank you, Mr. Pransky. So I'll be waiting for you at One Buck Place.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. I thought he was a one-trick pony, like anti-stadium, matter where it's
built. Now you got me in that category over there.
Well,
too.
Yeah, you go on national radio and beat the drum.
I'm the only guy that points out they got 9,000 people showing up. I'm the only guy in the world.
Speaking of 9,000 people, there's a guy on our website. He's a good guy, but Winston drives him out of his mind. He loses his mind about Winston. He thinks Winston ought to be, at best, putting shackles on Dale Mabry. And the guy just was wild about Winston. And last week he went nuts. I had to, like, calm down. He basically says, I will not go to another Bucks game as long as Jameis Winston's on this roster. The Glazers are going to have empty seats. And I replied this morning, they already have empty seats, and they aren't going to be filled because of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
All right, Ira, got to let you know, got to give you an update.
Okay.
The Bourbon Street Takeover, fanretreat.com. What we want people to do is dive in at fanretreat.com, click on Popular Retreats, it's right there on the homepage, and you join the Bourbon Street Takeover. And you'll see all the breakdown of all the events of that weekend, including the Ira Kaufman, Justin Pulowski, Joe Bucks fan, night before, party, pep rally, whatever you want to call it, and all the cool stuff associated with the biggest road trip of the season. Ira, we've already got, looking at the numbers here, it's about 40 people have already booked to head on out there.
40 already. Nice.
You've got hundreds of people who have joined the retreat, meaning that they are signed in for more information as it keeps going, that they're interested in all that sort of stuff. You'll see it on the site when you go there, fanretreat.com, click on Popular Retreats, and you can buy your flights now and get your tickets later, because, of course, these are tickets on the secondary market in New Orleans, and they're not that expensive right now, but fanretreat.com, when training camp kicks off next week, will be kicking out discounts on actual game tickets, and some people like to play the waiting game on game tickets, but it is reasonable now. I was at Derby Lane on Friday night, Ira.
Did you win?
I did, actually. Did, yeah.
played poker or you played the dogs?
No, straight dogs. Saturday night. Straight dogs out there with my daughter, and I hit the first Quinella. She won as well.
Was there any dogs named Sage or anything? Sage?
No Sage. Right. No Sage. But I hit my winning Quinella in the first race, and a guy comes up to me, a stick carrier. And he's all fired up. He's talking about the Bourbon Street takeover. He unfortunately can't go because he's on call, but he's hoping that for his job, but he's hoping that that straightens out. And, of course, the training camp takeover,
got a training camp takeover,
is August 4th. Get your free tickets. He already had all his free tickets. That's going to be wild. But we're really excited. FanRetreat.com. It's all coming together. Head over there, Popular Retreats, sign in, get your flights, tickets you can get anytime, and all the details are right there. Very cool.
Hey, Lee, question. What kind of effect do you think it'll have with Buck fans scattered without bleachers, Buck fans scattered among the fields? How could that affect stick carrier takeover day, Lee? Could it, in other words, they're not all going to be concentrated in one area. They might all be spread out.
If you listen to Justin, it would be thousands of people that surround the fields.
Okay.
So
It'll be a cacophony.
That's another reason why, you know, I love the stick carriers, don't get me wrong. But I was just thinking about this, listening to Justin's podcast, the Commish Uncensored, and listening to those last night. Man, I am so depressed, so down, so gloom and doom about everything that's going on with the Bucks. Everything.
I'm trying to pick you up.
It's going to be hard to do.
At least in the dumps.
And part of it is, I just think it's rotten for the fans that they got rid of the covered bleachers and limited the general public to, what, six practices?
Six.
I just, I don't like
Steve,
that.
Steve, mate, may I have the floor for 1 minute? 1 minute.
You're
very
asking
important.
Me? It's your podcast. Go ahead. Right, I got a list of stuff, but you don't want to follow the list. That's fine.
Forget that list for a minute. This is important. Now, Lee, you going to join me in this? All three of us are going to send out our healing vibes to Joey Johnston's son, teenage son, who's in John Hopkins All Children's Hospital, downtown St. Petersburg. I believe on Monday he had his second surgery. Last Friday he had his first.
Well, fill in what happened to the young man.
And he had an accident jumping off a bridge into the water in the Tierra Verde area about 10 days ago.
And, is that what it was?
And he's in the hospital. He's got fractured neck. And so we're all hoping he makes a quick and full recovery. Joey's already heard from John Gruden, Tony Dungy, Rondé Barber, Derek Brooks, and the like. And they started a GoFundMe page. So anyway, I think I speak for all three of us saying Joey's strong and his son's strong for this unspeakable tragedy. And we hope it has a happy ending.
I did not know he jumped off a bridge. I thought it was a pool.
Yeah, it was a bridge. It
okay,
a bridge.
Well, if for people that don't know who Joey Johnston is, used to be with the Tribune. He was a columnist with the Tribune. Covered USF for a while, if I remember correctly.
Knows Tampa sports history better than anybody.
He's basically an unofficial Bucks historian.
He is.
To help some fans jog their memory, you know, the NFL Network and NFL Films has produced a ton of these top 10 shows. So you name it. You've been on a couple times, Ira. Joey Johnston's been on many times, referencing the Bucks of days of yore.
Yes.
And I think he's been on there more than you, believe it or not,
so.
Ira.
So
if that helps people jog their memory, that's the person we're speaking of, Joey Johnston, his son.
Yeah, Joey was a guest on your podcast during football season. His son, you know, I didn't know what happened. I just saw like some announcements, healing vibes and things like that. Didn't know what happened. He's a teenager?
Heck of a baseball player. He's about 15 or 16.
Oh, boy, okay. Yeah. Horrible stuff. Horrible stuff. Joey Oakes actually wrote a book on the Buccaneers.
I forgot, Chris Harry, I think.
Yeah, I forgot the name of the book. Around the Super Bowl time, it was. I know it did pretty well. The book did pretty well.
Stories of Buck past and present.
Something like that.
All right, what do you got for me, Steven?
Now, on the training camp front, Lee's very depressed. He's very depressed.
I hate to see him like this.
Yeah, I hate seeing it like this.
I can't remember the last time I've been this down in the dumps over a Buck season. I'm not singling out anybody. This isn't Dirk Cutter. This isn't Jason Light. This isn't Jameis. This isn't Ryan Smith. I mean, no one in particular. Just the whole thing.
By next week, you'll be looking at the Buck cheerleaders. Things will change.
No, I'm actually looking at the Jags cheerleaders, believe it or not.
Things will change for young DeKemper once those Buck cheerleaders come out.
You know, I was going to go somewhere else, but just to pick up Lee's spirits, Mark Dominic was on local radio last week, and Dominic made a very firm case. He spoke of sound mind and body. And
whose show was he on, Steven?
The morning show. It's Krasnicki and Lane.
On
WDAE.
Oh, he's on 620. Okay.
Yeah, he's on local radio.
Okay, okay.
Dominic was out there saying he believes the Bucs are a playoff wild card type of team. That, look, every year, and Dominic made this point, and it sort of drove it home in some ways. He said, look, when I was the GM, I faced Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton every year, too. That's just the deal.
And they went 10-6 under Dominic 1 year. That's right.
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't remind Dominic that Cam Newton arrived in 2011, but whatever.
That's all right.
He gets the point.
The point was kind of clear, and you don't escape those guys, and he acknowledged the Bucs' tough schedule, but he believes that the changes on the D-line are enough to really change how offensive coordinators deal. And he thinks JPP is that much of a game changer, and he liked the moves by Jason Light. You sort of got the feeling between the lines that Dominic was like, well, one of these corners is going to work out. The odds are going to work in the Bucs' favor here. One out of two will work out.
Especially if the pass rush is enhanced, especially.
Yeah, and, you know, he seems to be of the mind, and Lee had written this previously, you know, hey, Jameis is here. And Ryan Fitzpatrick proved he can play last year, and there's really nothing wrong with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Lee's down on Fitzpatrick, but I look at Fitzpatrick.
I just know he's not the starter.
Well, I look at him this way. Like, hey, if he played all year, you'd expect the Bucs to go 6-10.
Yes. Maybe, at
so
best.
So 5-11, so that means they'll win 1 out of 3, and I think that's what they'll do in these first weeks.
And I have said it, he only needs to steal a win. But as you and I had a previous podcast, Ira, would I put $100 down on the Bucs to beat the Saints? Even up? No. Would I do the same against the Steelers? No. Would I do the same against the Eagles? No.
But I would bet $100, and I know Javier's listening right now.
Uh-oh.
Steve, I would bet $100 that the Bucs don't start 0-3. I would bet that.
I'd bet that as well, in a heartbeat. Heartbeat.
But when you break down the games individually, I understand Lee's point.
Sure, but that's the on-paper thing we deal with every year. You know, you'd always pick your winners
you
and
know,
losers.
I kind of understand what Dominic's saying, you know. Lee, first of all, if the Bucs don't have a four-man pass rush, then Mike Smith can't get the job done. He's done. There's no excuses left. If the pass rush isn't good, I mean better than average in the NFL. Better than average.
Is it on Smith or is it on Buckner?
It's on Smith.
Okay.
It's on Smith.
Yeah. And just so people don't misinterpret what I'm saying, of course I hope the Bucs win.
You're trying to take a harsh look, you know.
I'm not. I'm a clear-eyed look.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm looking at the horizon. I'm looking at the season, the matchups, the lack of a quarterback initially. I'm not anti-Fitzpatrick.
Well, Ronald Jones looms as a key figure.
Well, here's,
Steve, a lot of things can change if they get a run game.
I was going to save this for a future podcast, but since you brought it up, you're in the same boat as Kay Adams. And that's a nice boat to be on.
Ooh,
but you're in the same boat that Kay. She thinks Ronald Jones is going to be the turning point for the Bucs offense. Bucs offense is going to take off because they have a legitimate running threat. Well, number one, I don't expect maybe 10 to 12 carries a game.
I agree with that.
But here's where it gets even maybe less than that. And I just thought of that over the weekend. Obviously, the Bucs will have Benenock playing right guard, not Sweezy. Well, we know Cutter always harps about running backs blocking. We don't know if he's a blocker, Tom or Ronald Jones. I keep seeing Thomas Jones. There's a guy, another guy got loose. Anyway, Cutter's he's infatuated with running backs blocking. Supposedly, that's why he wouldn't give the ball to Peyton Barber last year, otherwise known as Gale Sayers in some circles. Because Benenock is a question mark, Dodson is a question mark, does that mean Cutter's going to fall back on Jacquizz Rodgers on Peyton Barber because he trusts them more to block as opposed to
a rookie? I don't see it. I think Jones is going to get his touches. Not more touches than Barber, but he's going to get his touches.
A lot of people are really confused, and you know, they think about carries in the NFL, and they're flashing back 20 years, 30 years, or they misinterpret what...
Nobody averages 20 carries.
Well, they misinterpret what actually is going on in the league. I had looked it up the other day. I think there are only 19 guys in the league last year who averaged more than 12 carries a game.
Wow.
So it's not
That's
a lot
of guys.
Two-thirds
of the league.
And you look at... Look, Kamara.
Two-thirds of the teams, I should
Kamara
say.
Kamara didn't get a lot of carries.
He's got Ingram.
And you look at other second-round running backs. Joe Mixon got about 12 carries a game last year. You've got other guys like...
Hunt got his carries with the Chiefs. Hunt
now, everybody considers Harbaugh a genius. He's not coaching in the NFL anymore. He had Carlos Hyde as a rookie, barely used him, and he was a second-round pick. It goes on. Derrick Henry got about next to no carries as a rookie second round. It goes on and on. It's not just, and keep in mind, the thing about Derrick Henry, it's one of the things I'm going to write this week. Dirk Cutter used to say multiple times, he would look, when he studied other teams to figure out what to do on offense and look for trends, his number one person he went to was Mike Mularkey, the former Titans coach. And Mularkey was the guy who didn't really use Derrick Henry as a rookie. And, you know, so, and they're all from the same tree. And Cutter didn't like Devontae Freeman in his rookie year. So it's just the NFL. And only the elite backs really get out there and just get the rock from day one and go crazy.
Did Henry have a big game against my Chiefs in the playoffs?
Yes,
he did. As a second-year guy.
Well, why do you have to mention Derrick Henry?
All right, Ira, before we hit... Now, we promised everybody fan questions of the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. So I've got the list here right on my...
And, of course,
phone.
You give me no heads up on these questions. Zero.
All right, see,
you already answered some.
When I go on Spectrum Sports, I get the questions 6 hours ahead of time.
You don't need a heads up. We want raw. We want real raw Sage. Now, but I did, just for fun, I did pull up your last week's podcast, because we haven't talked about this in months, where your listeners are coming from, because I know you like to know.
Oh, yeah.
Your international contingent. So I'm just going to read down the line here. And these are listeners.
Today I'd like you to look at Guadeloupe. Anything from Guadeloupe?
I'm going to roll down real fast and cut me off if you want to drop a
go
one
ahead,
line.
Baby.
So here we go.
If he says Russia, we're now it's on.
The Vatican.
Yeah.
Here we go. This is last Tuesday's podcast. Canada 69, United Kingdom 67, Australia 22, Germany 22, Ireland 13.
My Irish lassies.
United Arab Emirates 8, Korea 8, France 5, Denmark 5, Switzerland 4, Israel 4, Brazil 3. Also, 3 is going to be checking in Mexico and Kuwait. Now you used to
Wait, Japan. I got nothing.
You used to
I had sushi last night. Doesn't that count? Come on now.
You used to regularly get 8 to 12 listeners in Mexico, so I'm not sure what's wrong with you, Ira.
Boy, maybe I insulted them, Lee.
Oh, what about Canucks? You almost have as many from Germany.
Oh boy, where's my Japan friends?
Well, let me take a quick look here with 2 listeners.
Don't they carry me in Tokyo over there, Lee?
2 listeners. We got Cayman Islands, Greece, Malaysia, Colombia, Cuba. I thought that was
Cuba. Fidel.
India, Italy, Japan. 2 listeners in Japan.
There you go.
Fidel from the grave is listening to you.
2 in Spain, and then bringing up the rear, we had 1 listener in Senegal, Ghana, Croatia, Nigeria, Panama.
Galapagos Islands? Any penguins?
Just 1 in Panama. There's our friend Javier.
There you go.
None from the Vatican.
Netherlands, Puerto Rico, Paraguay, Dominican Republic, and Sweden.
It's an eclectic group. That's what it is.
That's a great party right there.
All right, what's the question? You got a question?
I got questions for you. I was impressed. 5 people in France with the World Cup fever going on.
Yeah, beautiful.
They're still listening to the Sage.
Well, I was going to say, Chris Russo was whining about how sports radio nationally, I guess in New York, they focus on the NBA Summer League and they ignore...
Yes, baseball.
Well, they ignore baseball and they ignore Wimbledon. I thought Wimbledon, when's that going to be over with?
It's over. It ended yesterday.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
I always thought that was 4th of July.
Used to be breakfast with Wimbledon, 4th of July. Now they bumped it, they pushed it back
a
little
bit. Did you
watch
John Isner's match, Ira?
I didn't stay for 26-24, but I watched a good part of it. I also watched Djokovic Nadal, the classic.
He's a massive, Isner's a massive Carolina Panthers fan.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to try to hook him up with you for...
He's 6'10", that guy.
6'10". Yeah, very interesting story. All right, enough of John Isner.
He studied my serve, Lee, when he was trying to turn pro and to learn what not to do.
Did you watch the World Cup final with Lee?
No. go France, go.
That's all I know. France won it, but who did they play?
Croatia. Okay. By the way, one of France's best players is a guy named Pogba. He plays for Man United, plays for the Glazers.
Team Glazers.
Pogba.
I was actually at Abe's on Sunday, sitting outside watching the game. There was a group of chain-smoking Croatians out there.
Oh.
It was a lot of fun.
Were they depressed when it ended?
I don't know. I don't speak the language, but they were not happy.
Steve would have liked Vegas. You know, there was World Cup stuff going on. I remember I was at the Mirage. They asked me, are you going to be coming by for the game tomorrow? I'm like, what game? Oh, there's World Cup. Okay. See, I'm very narrow-minded in my sports. But I know he's an NBA guy, and he had the summer league going there. For $39, you can go to the campus, UNLV. They had three games going at once. All day long, from like 11 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night.
Is that NBA Summer League?
Yeah, you got a day pass, like going to Disney or something, a day pass for $39. Or you could just stay at the Aria and you could see Trae Young hanging out at the Alibi.
You know, the Kempo was telling me some stories before the podcast, Steve. The guy never reaches into his pocket when he goes to Vegas, the Kemper. Set him up on the bar. What do you want?
There's some things you get set up with. You got to reach for the wallet.
That's a whole nother podcast, Steve.
The Joe Bucks fan tentacles spread across America, Ira.
By the way, shout out to Robert. He works with MGM Properties in Las Vegas.
Hey, Robert.
Thank you very much for the hospitality. I got to find a way to pay this guy back. I'll tell you why later, Steve.
I'll be there next week, Robert.
I told Ira he couldn't believe it.
All right, Sage.
You're going to try to squeeze a question
well,
in?
Well, I'm going to rapid fire you on the questions now. Of course, even though I gave you a heads up, you still answered two of them on Twitter. You weren't supposed to.
I did.
But we appreciate the rebellious attitude. One that you did answer already, you were asked, who is the best Yardbirds guitarist, including their time after being in the Yardbirds? You went with Eric Clapton.
I'm the only guy who knows who the three guys are.
I do.
Jeff Beck, Eric Clapton,
and Jimmy Page.
Mm-hmm. And I picked Clapton by a nose. By a nose.
All right, Clapton by a nose. It's kind of like my Quinella Derby
there
Lane.
There you go.
Beautiful.
How much did that pay you, my man?
Well, that only paid that paid 16 to 1.
How about buying my lemonade over here, Steve? All right, what else?
All right. Question from hashtag Buckluck. What's Ira's take on the safety position? Why does Tandy get overlooked and could Whitehead, the rookie Jordan Whitehead, be the one to replace Chris Conte?
I think the safety position, Lee, is okay. To me, okay is not good enough if you want to be a playoff team. I think Justin Evans has a lot of potential. I do. There were times last year when he looked very much like a rookie. There were. But I also saw the range and some ball skills from the guy. He's fearless. He's aggressive. I think he's going to be okay, especially with a better pass rush. Now, Conte, I think he's a stopgap. Keith Tandy has had like five good games in his Buck career, but they all came like in 5 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
But his play dropped off last year. They wanted him to win that job. Tandy was going to win that
job. I agree. And he
disappeared. And it didn't happen. And Whitehead, as a rookie, I don't see them. I don't see him wanting to go with a rookie and a second-year guy in Evans. I don't think that's the plan, but I think eventually Whitehead's going to be the guy, Lee.
Ivor, what is, in a related question, why is it that safety has been so devalued the past two seasons? Not with the Bucks, NFL in general.
Well, of course, it's devalued. I've been railing about that at the Hall of Fame, and that's something that Lynch has been facing, even though I think it's changing. Dawkins got in, Kenny Easley. Ed Reed will get in this year. Hopefully, they'll show some respect for Lynch. But the safety position in today's game, they used to be headhunters. Steve, you can't do it anymore. No better example than Golson. Golson's in the 49ers. He's hitting people. He's laying people out. He's forcing fumbles. He comes here. He's making money. And he's a bust. He did nothing as a Buck. You know the only thing he did? He had a nice little radio show. They put him on 620. And he sounded like one of those FM disc jockeys, you know, with a drink and a cigar. That's all he was good for. Safety is being devalued around the NFL. There's no question.
All right, Sage. We'll move on to Matt Watts. Matt Watts asks, Sage, how do you see the Bucs using Winston and Fitzpatrick in the preseason games given the upcoming suspension? So, usage in preseason of America's quarterback in Fitzpatrick.
No different than usage in training camp. Fitzpatrick is on top. Fitzpatrick is the guy that has to be ready for week one. So my focus is on Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm sorry. He's got to work with the first team. He's got to develop the rapport with the receivers. And that's just the way it is. And if that means Winston's taking second and third team snaps, that's fine. When Winston's ready to play, maybe that changes. Maybe it doesn't. But as for now, in other words, the first preseason game, I'm starting Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's getting two series, I'm yanking him. Third preseason game, Ryan Fitzpatrick's playing a half, maybe into a little bit into the third quarter. That's the way it is, Lee. That's the way it is. And Fitzpatrick's not playing preseason week four.
I agree. It's the same with Winston. But the only thing it's not so much it's not a question. It's more of a observation. Does that screw up this, not even a rebuild? You know, there's such a focus on Jameis and Deshaun Jackson getting on the same page. Does that screw that up?
That doesn't mean that Jameis and Deshaun Jackson can't work on the side,
okay,
Steve. But as far as my focus has to be the first three games with Ryan Fitzpatrick, if not more, but at least the first three. You got to avoid an 0-3 start. NFL history tells us, Lee, you're toast when you go 0-3. That's what history tells us. That's what you got to avoid. I got to get Fitzpatrick ready.
All right, Sage. Of course, your podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Their websites, edmorriscadillacbrandon.com, edmorriscadillactampa.com. All right, Ira, back to the questions. We have got, let's see. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Your next question comes from S. Grice. S. Grice asks, is there a current unsigned free agent quarterback that you would like to see the Bucs sign for added insurance assurance to start the season? Another body, Sage?
If there's a body out there, Lee, it's for a reason. And we know how desperate teams are for quarterbacks. And if the guy's still out there, it's probably no good. Of course, you got Colin Kaepernick. You know, that's the one guy that there's more than meets the eye. Let's be honest here. Having said that, I think teams have the right to make that decision, whether they want him or not. But anybody who thinks that Colin Kaepernick's absence from an NFL roster is purely based on his ability as a quarterback, they're dreaming. They're absolutely dreaming. But at the same time, I don't think you demand that a team signs Colin Kaepernick. You can't do that. They have to make their own decisions.
A guy who did
and
time
it's not going to happen in Tampa.
A guy who did time for beating up dogs got a job in the NFL, so come on.
Yeah. Bridgewater is the name you hear about, Lee. I happen to like Teddy Bridgewater. You think that's a year away?
He's not a free agent.
He's not a free agent. He's not a free agent, but I don't think it would take more than a fourth-round draft pick to get him. You know, I'm not giving up a second. But
my question is, why would you trade for a guy for only three games?
Yeah, maybe you're right, Lee.
Now,
maybe you're right.
Now, if they do trade for them, that tells me they're going to cut Jameis. That would tell me. They're going to trade for Bridgewater. That means they're waving bye-bye to Jameis. Now, if that is the case, then okay. They'll go get Bridgewater.
Or if there's an early season injury from the Bucs, I'm looking at Bridgewater.
Well, just to throw a couple names out there, T.J. Yates is out there.
Yeah, they're names.
He started a few games last year for the Texans.
Did he start a playoff game with the Texans?
I don't think so.
You know the Yates I know? The poet, Yates. I don't know T.J. Yates. Next.
He was with Cutter in Atlanta in 2014, Matt Ryan's backup, so there's a connection.
Who else you got? Blaine Gabbert? Who else you got?
Derek Anderson's still floating around.
Derek Anderson.
But he's a guy, he's waiting for an injury. He's waiting for a starter to go down.
I think he won 10 games. No, wait.
Are you going to hit us with some Yates?
Didn't he have a good year with the Browns about 6 years ago?
He made the Pro Bowl about 10 years ago.
Are you
going to hit us with some poetry from Yates?
All right, Ira. Next question is Bucks.
Hold on. You know where the poetry from Yates? Hold on, Steve. You never know what
it wasn't him quarterbacking.
You know when the poetry from Yates comes up in a movie? And by the way, I believe it's the best movie in the last 15 years. This gives you a little insight into the Sage.
Moana?
15.
Million Dollar Baby.
I thought it
was an absolute fantastic movie. Clint Eastwood, Morgan Freeman, you can't beat it. And the Clint Eastwood character, who's a fight manager, keeps reciting lines from Yates.
Was that with, I can't think of her name, was an alien?
No, not Sigourney Weaver. No.
All right, Roger Ebert over here. Let's go.
All right, go ahead.
Bucks and Magic for life. How do you fairly evaluate Jameis Winston as quarterback? We hear wins, losses, but it's a team game. A few games, he gave the team the lead, but the D couldn't hold. Does one interception cancel out three TDs? Curious, Sage, because it seems there are different standards for every quarterback.
My standard is simple, Lee. It's harsh, but it's simple. Win some freaking football games. 18-27 doesn't cut it. For me, it doesn't cut it for Winston. It doesn't cut it for Cutter, Light, whoever. I understand the stats. I understand the 4,000 yards. I understand this. Quarterbacks are judged on wins. Otherwise, you're going to end up being a Jeff George. You're going to be a Jay Cutler. Hey, yeah, Cutler made the playoffs a couple of years. But when Jay Cutler retires, what's his reputation going to be, Lee?
A powder.
A guy who didn't play up to his talent.
A powder.
A big, strong-armed guy who didn't win enough games. We don't want Jameis Winston to end up like that. Is it fair to blame him for the 32nd ranked defense? No, but he's 18-27.
Yeah, and this is a good point that Steve always brings up. Good luck finding someone in the Super Bowl era, meaning a quarterback. Good luck finding a quarterback that only had one winning season in his first 4 years that stayed with the team. That's very hard to find. Now, to Jameis's credit, I'm reading Keith Hernandez's book, and people think I'm going off kilter here. I'm not.
How is that book?
Excellent. Excellent. Anyway, Hernandez was talking about, I can't remember if it was 78, 79, 77, but he had, going into the All-Star break, he was, I think, second in the league, or maybe he
79,
was.
79, he was co-MVP with Stargell.
Yeah, it might have been that. Well, at least.
How do you like that one, Isbits?
Well, one season in that ballpark, he was leading the league or second in the league. He never even made the All-Star game. I mean, he eventually did because someone got hurt. And why was he not initially on the All-Star ballot? Or he was on the ballot, but why was he not on the All-Star roster? Oh, there was a guy by the name of Pete Rose, another guy by the name of Willie Stargell, another guy by the name of Steve Garvey, another guy by the name of Dave Kingman who led the league in home runs. That's why Hernandez, there's a logjam at first base. Kingman got hurt and eventually was sort of added them to the roster.
How do we get into Keith Hernandez?
This is where. Jameis is playing in the division with arguably three Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
All right.
So when I read that about Hernandez, I immediately thought of Jameis. Jameis is putting up good numbers. He can't get wins, and part of that reason is the division he plays in.
Only DeKemper would equate Keith Hernandez and Jameis Winston. That's a fantastic tandem over there.
All right, John Garvey Garv wants to know, I'm going to paraphrase.
Oh, that's one of our great readers over there, Stephen. He's outstanding.
I'm going to paraphrase Garv here a little bit. Basically, he wants to know, do you think the starters, not the quarterbacks, but the starters themselves, get more preseason snaps in practice as well as games so they can both work with Fitzpatrick and Winston in those scenarios?
Lee, I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I know the NFL rules don't like this. They're trying to steer you away from it. But, Lee, I don't think this year can be all about keeping guys fresh and out of injuries in training camp and preseason. I think that's got to change. You got to start fast. You got to win at least one of these freaking first three games.
Freaking.
And that's as far as I'm going, Commish. I'll let the Commish take care of it. So my answer is yes. I think the starters go further, at least in first-team snaps and training camp, and I think that's what the fans want to see. You know, if injury's going to happen, they're going to happen, Lee. You can't stop it.
Sage, let's head over to Kenny K. This is an agree.
Kenny G?
Kenny K.
All right.
Get the clarinet out.
This is an agree or disagree question. Agree or disagree? Out of all the Hooters locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, is Port Richey Hooters best?
Well, if you're talking about being on the water and the nice waterfront, you might say yes. If you're talking about the talent level, you're gonna go to Hillsborough Avenue. I don't think you can go wrong there. And by the way, I speak from experience because we did our fantasy draft there last August.
You were smitten.
I'm looking for absolutely smitten. Absolutely smitten.
All right. Speaking of fantasy, Todd Wright has the Fantasy Football Podcast.
Now, if you're into Pelicans, you go to the Port Richey Hooters.
Todd Wright hosts Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast on JoeBucksFan.com. In the 6 months of the quote-unquote offseason, it runs once a week. In 2 weeks, he'll be kicking it up back to twice a week. And this year, it's going three times a week because there will be a Bucks-centric fantasy podcast on Wednesdays this year. Bucks, like a Bucks bulletin, Bucks bonus, kind of Bucks only.
I don't see you noting that I made the semifinals last year in my first year.
We've talked about it many times. Right. You did a great, great job. You are a great fantasy.
And then I ran into Todd Gurley, scored 5 touchdowns the week that I played the guy that had Todd Gurley. Game over.
All right, Sage, we're moving on. Next question is by
Dallas. You're firing away over here,
Steve. We got it. We're wrapping it up, Sage. Dallas, that's his name. Dallas asks, will it take a playoff appearance this year for the quarterback, general manager, and head coach to keep their jobs?
No. No. I don't say playoffs are bust. I say winning season. Got to have a winning season. What are you going to do? Go, you know, if you go 10-6 and you get jobbed like the 2010 Bucks, you know, what are you going to do? Pin that on Dirk Cutter? No, you won 10 games. I think a winning my barometer is a winning season. Lee, am I being too harsh?
No. What would happen if the Bucks offense, they're scoring a lot of points, they again have another top 10 offense like they did last year. They had more than top 10, but a good offense.
How's the quarterback play? How's the quarterback?
Quarterback's playing well. They're scoring points, but the defense is a sieve. Does Cutter get a mulligan?
Depends what their record is. Not if they're 5-11.
I'm thinking 8. No. Well, I'm thinking 8-8, 7-9.
That's the Isbit scenario. That's the Isbit scenario. Cutter's here for offense. If the offense is clicking, they win their share of games, 8-8. I could see making a case to bring Cutter back. Yes, I can.
Does he get any kind? He being Cutter. Get any kind of mulligan for Jameis' snafu?
Not if they go 6-10. No mulligan. No mulligan. No. You know, you gotta overcome that.
We'll hit this many, many times in many ways in the coming weeks. We've talked about it before, but it's good to see where the Sage stands. Now, Frank Reynolds asks, what's up with the right side of the offensive line? Light's always counting on injured guys to make immaculate recoveries. Why didn't he address this, Sage?
I'm concerned. Lee, I am concerned. And it's not just the hole on right guard, which I agree with Lee that Benenac's going to win. I know Kappa's going to throw his hand in the ring over there, but I think Benenac will emerge. But you got to worry about Dotson, too. I mean, we love Dot, and he was playing very well last year, but the guy has been playing, you know, for about 10 years, and he's coming off a meniscus. You know, meniscus is not a killer. It's not a torn ACL, but Dot's been hurt. Lee, he might be breaking down a little bit.
Yeah.
You don't have a great backup. That's where Kappa might be backing him up. You got Wester. They're not proven backups, Lee. I said a year ago I would have drafted a right tackle in the 5th round. It didn't happen. You know, in the words of Jason Light, you can't do everything, and you can't.
That's correct.
But I think that rightfully there's some concern about the right side of the line.
Would you be surprised if they, and you know there's going to be guys available?
No.
That,
no, I would not be surprised.
You know where I'm going.
A late cut.
Yeah.
That would not surprise me.
Last question.
This is a lightning round, Stephen. Boom.
Last question, Ira, is from Adam Baum. Writes, do you think Cutter can swallow his pride enough to give Todd Monken the play-calling duties versus the Saints, and should he?
No and no.
There you go, Sage. All right.
There you go.
It's been good to see you. Of course, we'll be back Thursday with another edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Please go to fanretreat.com, look up Popular Retreats, join in or click on Interested, sign in, get your flights. It is really moving forward. This thing is on, Ira. Every aspect is on
here. You covered a lot of bases today, Isbit.
It's exciting.
Really,
we got plenty more for Thursday, and your podcast, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, subscribe, leave a review. And
the skies have cleared up. It's all good, Steve.
All right, get out of here, weatherman. Get out of here.